What, I want to know, is great poetry? Our entire unit is built around this question, and to answer it, we ask five additional questions. Is it the imagery? Is it the sound a poem makes? Is it the form of a poem? Is it the depth of meaning? Or is it something else entirely? Today, here, we tackle this fourth question concerning the depth of meaning, and this may be the most difficult one for me to address. T.S. Eliot said that poetry is perfection of form united with a significance of meaning. Meaning does make poetry great, but you cannot rush into it like the students portrayed in Billy Collins' poem Introduction to Poetry. There, all they want to do is tie the poem to a chair with rope and torture a confession out of it. They begin beating it with a hose to find out what it really means. Those students are like those of us who hate riddles. We may like to hear a riddle, but we are not interested in working through it and coming to a conclusion on our own. Just tell us! These are the folks who hear The Puzzler every week on Car Talk, but don't like hearing the week's new puzzler. Give them The Puzzler from last week, because then they hear the answer right away. Leland Ryken said, "A poem is a close relative of the riddle, a curiosity that invites us to unravel its mystery. The lovers of the riddle want the weak to figure out the puzzle. They want a solid chance to unravel its mystery. They discover it on their own. Eventually, they may give in and ask for the answer, but they want to pick it apart with tweezers and a needle first. Thus, the approach is everything. If we take the wrong approach to meaning in a poem, we might know what it means and be able to scratch it out on a unit exam, but we don't know in a way that matters to poetry. You may be able to tell me what John Keats's Nightingale could symbolize, but have you felt what it means? To love its lot so much you would want to, as the poem says, fade away into the forest dim? The first understanding of meaning, where you beat it out with a hose, or better yet, have a henchman beat it out with a hose for you, will not help anyone to answer the question of your quest. It cannot build an appreciation for poetry's greatness. For the reader of this style, this beating with a hose style, has abused the poetry in an attempt to make it speak another language, the language of regular writing, of prose, of essay. Thomas Macaulay said that poetry is the art of doing by means of words what the painter does by means of colors. There is a reason this question of meaning is the fourth question we pose in our pursuit of great poetry. It cannot be approached until the other three have been considered. How can you consider meaning unless you have considered, appreciated, and tasted a poem's pictures, sounds, and form? You cannot, at least if you honestly want to experience great poetry. Poems do not become great because people say they're great. They may become famous from what people say, but not great. Poems become great because people experience them, because the poem has a way of holding on to the reader's imagination somehow, whether through the vivid image of a red wheelbarrow or a residual emotional power of a Lady Lazarus. Robert Frost says that a poem begins in delight and ends in wisdom. When we explore the poem, access it by probing rather than blasting, the details can penetrate us, so that when we discover the meaning, those details are so entrenched in our own minds that we seem to arrive at that aha, the wisdom, at the same moment as the poet. John Keats wrote that poetry should strike the reader as a wording of his own highest thoughts and appear almost as a remembrance. That's when a poem's depth of meaning is an attribute of its greatness, when it is approached with respect by an explorer rather than a conqueror.